Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And Leo.
And we're here tonight to give you a little news and to also play an interview that we did last night on our FM show with Dr. Cass Ingram. And it's an interview concerning the swine flu. And I think it's one that you all should stay tuned for. Cass is very interested in alternative medicine, and he actually goes out and picks herbs and mixes them.
Yeah, he's
an
herpetologist, I guess.
I don't know.
Isn't that what they are?
No, I don't think they call it quite that. But he uses lots of herbs in his healing, and he is a great advocate, as Leo and I are, of P73, the wild oregano, which is awesome cure for what ails you, from a toothache to the flu.
Yeah. And,
you know, and
anything in between.
I mean, it's great for topical things, and it's great for internal things. If you feel like, you know, I always take their maxi dose in the pill form if I feel something coming on, and I work around a lot of kids and things, so they're always germs and dirty little fingers and all kinds of things, and been very helpful for me, and I also have the liquid form of oregano, and I take that or use that, and I've used it topically on things like poison ivy. I've used it topically on cuts that wouldn't heal or that needed some antiseptic, and it's been great.
Yeah.
And one time about a year ago, I had a horrible toothache. I had a root canal that, was it a root canal that failed? Or I had a cap that fell off, and it was, it was horribly painful. And the wild oregano was a great thing, and it really made it tolerable until I could get to a dentist. So I can't say enough about the product, but he will talk to you about it. And he'll talk to us about the origins of the swine flu and what we should do. He's a great guy to interview. I just adore the guy. I think he's great.
Yeah. So anyway, we're...
And Leo does, too.
Yeah, we've known him for quite a while, many years. And
I've never actually met him, and I'm looking forward to doing that someday. But
one day,
I feel as if I know him because I've talked to him so often.
He's based out in Indiana and with North American Herb and Spice.
And also, you can
see many of his books. He's a prolific author.
Oh.
At knowledgehousepublishing.com.
And I like the way he writes.
Or knowledgehousepublishers.com. And quite a fascinating guy. So that's coming up around 8:30. Got about a half an hour with Dr. Cass Ingram.
Yeah, and I'm going to start off tonight by reading an article on Bilderberg Fears, Losing Control, and Chaos Plagued World.
I like that article.
It's a very good article. And investigative journalist Daniel Estulin, whose information from inside Bilderberg has routinely proven accurate, states that the global elite's plan to completely destroy the economy and ultimately lower global population by 2/3 has stoked fears even within Bilderberg itself that the fallout from such chaos could ultimately result in the globalists losing their control over the world. In a telephone interview, Estulin reiterated his original points about Bilderberg's 2009 agenda, which were released in a pre-meeting booklet to members. These include the notion that investors whipped up into a false sense of a euphoria by the belief that the economy is recovering are being suckered into plowing their money back into the system as a setup for massive losses and searing financial pain in the months ahead as the stock market reverses its uptrend and plummets to new lows. One of Bilderberg's main topics of conversation at this year's meeting was whether to oversee a long period of economic stagnation or to quickly sink the economy with a rapid depression. How nice. Estulin called the bank stress test recently conducted as being little more than a shameless hoax based on the irrational assumption that the economy won't get as bad as it already is. Bilderberg are also intent in pushing through the Lisbon Treaty, despite its being rejected by countries in Europe who allowed the population to vote on the issue in a pre-appeared to manufactured demonization campaigns against anti-EU pressure groups, namely the Libertas organization fronted by Declan Ganley. One of Bilderberg's primary concerns, according to Estulin, is the danger that their zeal to reshape the world by engineering chaos in order to implement their long-term agenda could cause the situation to spiral out of control and eventually lead to a scenario where Bilderberg and the global elite in general are overwhelmed by events and end up losing their control over the planet. Estulin said the economic crisis is a vastly greater threat than a mere recession, and that as long as the present structure of the global economy remains the same, it will ultimately lead to a massive population reduction of two-thirds within a generation or two. Estulin said that such a massive crisis would bring many unknowns that scare and frighten some of the more savvy members of the Bilderberg Inner Circle who are wondering how far they have actually gone, not only to destroy the world, but perhaps even destroy themselves, adding that this subject was the topic of conversation at this year's meeting. Estulin highlighted a phrase that he first ran across in Bilderberg documents many years ago, but only came to understand more recently following the 2002 meeting in Chantilly, Virginia, the term demand destruction. Estulin said that a source connected to the World Bank explained to him that you destroy demand by destroying the world economy on purpose, which is what we're witnessing right now, added Estulin, the destruction of the world economy on purpose. And you can listen to the Estulin interview with the Corbier Report. And this article was printed on Infowars.com. You can see it there, too. So it was by Paul Joseph Watson. A little bit scary, folks. Huh?
So anyway, you want
to... Leos, but if I didn't get a chance to look this up, I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with the Lisbon Treaty? I couldn't remember what that is, and I didn't get a chance to look it up on the computer.
Not really.
No.
I didn't look it up either. I've heard of it. Times,
yeah, and I can't remember exactly what...
And pushing through the Lisbon Treaty...
Is that the ratification of all the...
I think that's the EU.
EU ratification.
Right.
Like, I know the Irish voted against it, but it didn't matter.
And they and it's... that's what... it says, being a rejected countries in Europe who allow their population to vote on an issue and are prepared to manufacture demonization campaigns against anti-EU pressure groups, namely the Libertas organization funded by DC and Ganley.
Declan.
But I know that what Tony Blair is about. Tony Blair has been campaigning to be the president of the EU for a long time, and he's waiting for this.
Well, he's over there. Yeah, he's over there in the Middle East being an envoy.
He just got. I got an envoy.
Hold up in some posh hotel.
Well, he just,
which he never comes out of.
The Israelis just gave him $1 million.
Yeah.
All right. For
and he gave some back to them.
Oh yeah, and. Israelis gave him $1 million to be for what a good job he's doing.
Which of course means he's doing nothing to them. That's a good job. Don't change the status quo.
Blair awarded $1 million prize for international relations work. Tony Blair last night received the $1 million Dan David Prize for leadership at a ceremony at Tel Aviv University, a prize awarded for achievements having an outstanding scientific, technological, cultural, or social impact on our world. Yeah, right. You know, he sure did. He and Bush, destroyed most of the Middle East. And Blair's office said 90% of the money from the prize, which is named after the international businessman and philanthropist Dan David, would be donated to Tony Blair's Faith Foundation that promotes religious understanding by bringing together young people of different faiths across the world to learn directly with, from, about. I mean, this guy makes you sick. And not only does he make you sick, he's a traitor, son of a bitch.
Yeah,
all right, if you want to read this, go to guardian.co. Yeah. Oh, and what happened to the other $100,000? He kept it for his personal expenses, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, he's holed up in some fancy hotel room.
And what's
you know?
Fun about this is, like, since it's his own foundation, he's throwing 90% of it, so it's tax deductible.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's tax free dollars. Otherwise, he'd lose 50% of it through, or more through the.
Depending on where he's a citizen and all that.
What's that?
Is he still a citizen in England?
Yeah. Yeah, that's his summer home.
Mm-hmm.
Or winter home, or whatever they call it. There's something else that came up. This is kind of interesting if you'd like to read that one.
Okay.
And I wanted to read this one about mystery surrounds prison death of terrorist whose testimony was key to Iraq invasion.
Oh, isn't that a fancy one? Fascinating one, huh?
Yeah. It's so small. So
I can't see it. Very tiny print.
Yeah, this is by the Sunday Herald. And it says the mystery surrounds prison death of terrorist whose testimony was key to Iraq invasion. The Islamist terrorist who was the key source of the false intelligence used to trigger the U.S. and U.K. 2003 military invasion of Iraq has been found dead in a Libyan prison cell. Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi allegedly committed suicide by hanging in the prison where he was being held in the Libyan capital, Tripoli. His death followed a visit by a team from Human Rights Watch, one of the most leading independent organizations dedicated to defending and protecting human rights. The al-Libi, now this was weird, his death followed a visit by a team. Okay. So they had been there, and then he committed suicide afterwards. The al-Libi affair opens a window of an extraordinary close espionage link that existed between the government of the former U.S. President George Bush and the authoritarian Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. The al-Libi was the unnamed source that Bush, his former Secretary of State Colin Powell, and other administration officials relied upon prior to the Iraq invasion to assert that Iraq dictator Saddam Hussein was helping a terrorist organization run by al-Qaeda. Al-Libi was known to Powell and Bush by the code name Curveball. Oh, this was Curveball. I remember this. And Powell's speech to the United Nations Security Council on February 5th, 2003, was largely based on al-Libi's coerced testimony, which was extracted from him in an Egyptian torture chamber, even though many U.S. intelligence officials questioned it at the time and later dismissed it completely. In his address, aimed at drumming up support for the invasion, Powell said he could trace the story of a senior terrorist operative telling how Iraq provided training in these chemical and biological weapons to al-Qaeda. Now, and they're thinking of putting Powell as the head of the GOP. You know what I mean? This is great. Powell's nothing but a swindling, lying bastard. All right? And,
right.
You know, he's just a puppet for the globalists. And the Bush administration argued that the invasion of Iraq was necessary because the country was concealing weapons of mass destruction for international inspectors and could have shared those weapons with terrorists. No such stockpiles were found after the invasion. Colin Powell's chief of staff at the time of the security address, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, said he has since discovered that Bush's Vice President Dick Cheney ordered the Egyptian torturers to step up their techniques on al-Libi to obtain a smoking gun linking Iraq and al-Qaeda. Wilkerson, writing in an online political journal in Washington, the Washington Note, went on, the Vice President's office ordered them to the Egyptians to continue the enhanced methods. The detainee at al-Libi had not revealed any al-Qaeda Baghdad contacts yet. This ceased only after al-Sheikh al-Libi, under waterboarding in Egypt, revealed such contacts. Libyan-born al-Libi, 45, when he died last week, was a member of the anti-Gaddafi Libyan Islamic Fighting Group and the head of the al-Qaeda-linked Khaldan training camp in eastern Afghanistan from 1995 to 2000. He was detained in Pakistan in November 2001 and sent to a U.S. detention center in Afghanistan before being transferred by the CIA to the USS Bataan, an assault aircraft carrier stationed in the Arabian Ocean, then to Egypt in early 2000 under the Bush administration Extraordinary Rendition Program. Right? And the article goes on here, and it's only another few paragraphs. It was sometime after Alevi's inquisitors subjected him to a mock burial in a coffin at 20 inches high for 17 hours, according to CIA cable.
I don't even want to hear what they did. Some terrible things to people.
When he was let out, Alevi was given a last opportunity to tell the truth. Still, his answers did not satisfy the Egyptian team. He was knocked to the ground and punched for 15 minutes. It was sometime afterwards that Alevi confessed that Iraq had trained al-Qaeda fighters on chemical and biological weaponry, information taken up by the British by the Bush administration to justify the Iraq invasion. A bipartisan report by the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence found in September 2006 that Alevi had lied about the link to avoid torture. The committee also found that although Alevi had close contacts with al-Qaeda, he was not a member of the Fundamental Islamic Network. And after extracting a false confession from Alevi, the Egyptians handed him to the CIA. The date of the transfer is unknown and is in the location where he was detained, although there is speculation it was Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. Sometime in early 2006, the Americans delivered Alevi to Gaddafi. Commenting on Alevi's death, in his cell shortly after, he was visited by two HRW staffers, Human Rights Watcher staffers, on April 27th. The campaign group Middle East director, Sam Whitson, said it meant the world will never hear his account of the brutal torture he experienced. She added, "So now it is up to Libya and the United States to reveal the full story of what they know, including the impact on Alevi's mental health." Stacey Sullivan, a counterterrorist advisor for Human Rights Watch, said of Alevi, "He's a fairly significant figure in the counterterrorism world, and his testimony, I would say, provided the link for the invasion." And human rights organizations only have questioned whether Alevi's death was suicide. Sullivan said personnel was stunned to discover Alevi's Tripoli in Abu Salem prison during their fact-finding mission to Libya. Washington was never confirmed that happened to him, she said. When prison officials pointed out the Alevi to the research team, he refused to be interviewed by them. "Where were you when I was being tortured in America, in American jails?" he said, according to Sullivan. She added, "We got really angry and walked away." Human Rights, Yasser Seem, an Egyptian who runs the Islamic Observation Center in London, said Alevi was a true Muslim and an Islam prohibits committing suicide. The human rights lawyer said, "We are told that Alevi committed suicide in the Libyan prison. If this is true, it would be because of his torture and abuse. If false, it may reflect the desire to silence one of the greatest embarrassments to the Bush administration." That makes sense?
I feel just sick listening to what happened to that poor man.
Justice investigator Clara Guterridge.
How can you justify that?
"He was tortured into making false statements that were relied upon to start the Iraq War, and when they became too embarrassing, he was disappeared to a rights-abusing country." And a Libya expert and director of communications at Dubai campus, Harvard Kennedy School of Government, scoffed at the notion that people in Libya jail simply commit suicide. He said, "That is a regime with a long history of killing people in jail, then claiming it was suicide. My guess is Libya has seen the winds of change in America and wanted to bury this man before international organizations started demanding access to him." And Tom Malinowski, head of Human Rights Watch's Washington office, said that Alevi was Exhibit A in the narrative that tortured confessions contributed to the massive intelligence failure that preceded the Iraq War. Alibi cases shed light on the extraordinary level of cooperation that existed between the Bush team and the Gaddafi regime. And Gaddafi helped the U.S. pursue al-Qaeda network in North Africa by extraditing radicals to neighboring pro-Western states. And you can check this out on SundayHerald.com, okay? And check it out. So
I literally feel sick.
I hope that Cheney not only has these assassination squads and everything.
Yeah.
He's the most wretched son of a bitch that ever walked the face of the earth.
At first, I thought Obama shouldn't release those things, but now I'm thinking, they're going to get released anyway. Just release everything.
Right.
And let the chips fall where they may.
Let's find out what happened here.
Yeah.
I mean, people are realizing that these tortured bastards were.
I mean,
who would not give false information?
I'd say anything.
You'd say anything under that kind of torture.
It's not right.
And you know, why not? You know, what the hell you got to lose?
Nothing.
You know, nothing. Except
maybe they
stop doing it.
Leave you alone.
Yeah. And they did. After he did that, all right? They kept him in a jail, threw him into Libya, and then killed the bastard, all right?
When he was no good to them anymore.
Well, when he could
was
be an embarrassment. Right. Because when they found out that he was there, you know, his mistake was that he didn't talk to them, to those human rights watchers, all right? When they saw him.
He was so abused, Leo.
He said, where were you when I was in the other country, you know? But at the same time, I'm sure he regrets that he didn't talk to him before he said it.
Maybe he was glad to die.
I would think so, yeah.
After all he'd been through, that poor man. Oh, how can you...
Yeah.
I don't like to hear that we've done those horrible things. It just makes me feel so bad that we're such bad people.
Yeah. Well, here's a son of a bitch here. Donald Rumsfeld, you want to read that? It's not the other one.
Mm.
Where he covered Iraq briefing papers with Bible texts.
Oh, yeah, I did read this. Doesn't that make you sick?
Yeah, this guy's the most hypocritical son of a bitch that I've seen.
Donald Rumsfeld covered, this is from telegraph.co.uk. Donald Rumsfeld, the former U.S. Defense Secretary, provided George W. Bush with top-secret intelligence briefings on the Iraq War that featured covered pages adorned with biblical quotes. According to a report in GQ magazine, the religious texts were imposed over pictures of the U.S. armed forces engaged in the war. Shown to only a small circle of senior advisors, the pages were first used on the eve of the 2003 invasion and were designed to provide support and encouragement to Mr. Bush, a Christian who often cited the Bible while in office. Let's see what else it says here. Some Pentagon officials feared that if the documents were leaked at the height of the conflict, the use of Christian language to justify the invasion of a Muslim nation would cause a furor in the Islamic world. One official told GQ that the damage done to America's image would have been as bad as that caused by the release of photographs showing the abuse of Iraqi prisoners at the Abu Ghraib jail in Baghdad. On April 1, 2003, as U.S. troops were heading for Iraq and casualties were beginning to be taken, Mr. Rumsfeld's World Intelligence Update featured a line from Proverbs 16, chapter 3, I guess. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Beneath was a picture of a machine gunner on the road from Baghdad to Hilala. 2 days before Saddam Hussein was toppled on April 9, 2003, the cover sheet showed a picture of the Iraqi leader in a quotation from 1 Peter 2:15. It is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of a foolish man. The biblical passages were reportedly the idea of Major General Glenn Schaefer, a senior military intelligence official and a Christian, who told colleagues that his seniors, including the president, were grateful for the cover pages. But Mr. Rumsfeld is not known for his piety, but appears to have been currying favor with his boss, who at first called his war on terror a crusade, but then backed down when the depiction caused consternation in Muslim nations.
I think they should release those photos more.
Yeah. At first I was against it. Now I...
Let's show what these sons of bitches that really did, you know, and break it to the world.
And then if we have to
apologize for that, fine. Because I'll tell you right now, and I'm going down on the record, I've been doing it for the last 10 years, that, you know, 911 was caused by Dick Cheney. Everybody knows now that Dick Cheney ordered NORAD to stand down. That was direct from him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in 911. And let's
you think it was very unusual that nobody responded to those planes?
Yeah.
Cripes, you fly a paper airplane
and those planes were droned anyway. Those were drone planes. Yeah. The whole thing was just a big farce. In a big tragic farce, and it was a big cover-up and a big thing that got us into this situation we're in today, right? And, you know, God damn these people. May they rot in hell for the eternity, you know, in the Abu Ghraib prison with, you know, their testicles and electrocuted. Wouldn't that be like, you know, yeah, that would be good torture, you know? Let's have karma.
We should be coming right up
to... We must be close to...
Yeah,
nine,
we should,
nine,
we
nine,
should do our interview anyway.
Yeah.
So
is there anything quick that we want to say?
I didn't really...
There was this one on drug prices. The U.S. states sued Wyeth over drug prices.
Yeah, that's
true. And Halliburton, man, there was so much stuff. Oh, maybe this one's too long. And... Obama picks GOP John Huntsman as ambassador to China. I wanted to know, people to know that. That was in the news. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Well, did it, was it?
I saw that. Yeah, I did.
But whatever that is, this guy was the chairman of the McCain campaign.
Yeah,
all right?
It was on the news, yeah.
So you got to wonder.
There aren't too many people that speak Mandarin.
Doesn't matter.
I think that's...
You gotta want... Nah, that's bullshit. You gotta wonder, this guy, you know, so, you know, this guy, how about this guy set up the whole damn thing for McCain, because McCain was such a loser to pick Palin, okay?
That just went,
and then, you know, he did a lot of favors for the Democrats by being McCain's chairman.
Advisor
and chairman. So I would guarantee this is payback. So that's my thought. All right, and the guy's name, for those who want to know, is John Huntsman. Okay, he's also a bajillionaire. Right.
But of course, there'll be more of one when he comes back
like
from
Chinese.
China.
Okay, one more, and that's U.S. state sue Wyeth over drug prices. U.S. Justice Department, 16 states have joined to whistleblower. Have joined two whistleblower lawsuits against Wyeth, alleging the drug maker has defrauded the government of hundreds of millions of U.S. dollars. According to the lawsuit filed by District Court in Massachusetts, Wyeth avoided paying hundreds of millions of dollars in rebates due to state Medicaid programs, with provide health insurance to low-income families to people with disabilities. Stomach acid drugs, oral proto, you know, whatever. And Medicaid, which is financed by federal government and state, is qualified to obtain the lowest prices in prescription drugs. Drug makers such as Wyeth, in turn, are required to pay rebates to states based on any other discounts they have offered. All right. But the funny thing is that where's the state in this thing? You know, why didn't they pursue it? It took a whistleblower to do it.
Yeah.
So there was
they didn't know about it. That was part of the problem. He found out about it from hospital.
Oh. Oh, okay.
They didn't know.
They didn't realize.
No, they didn't realize that there was a lower price. They thought they were getting a lower price.
They thought they were, but they weren't.
But they were it was like a two-tier system. They were selling at a much lower price to hospitals.
Oh.
And they had no reason to think any different.
So it was a screwball.
Yeah, they were just screwed over.
Wyeth Drugs, don't buy anything from them. All right. This is our interview with Dr. Cass Ingram about the swine flu, and it's cured by P73, wild oregano.
Good evening, Cass.
Hey, Lana, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing doing fine. How are you doing?
Absolute. It's good to be back.
And it's good to have you back. It's always great to have you on the show. And you're going to talk to us about the swine flu, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty compelling that you have Gibbs, Adrian Gibbs, coming out and pursuing the press and saying that this is a bioengineered germ, and it might have been accidental, but it's engineered by humans. And I had been saying that for the last 2 months,
mm-hmm.
that this is a vaccine virus, whether mutated or
mm-hmm.
purposely subsynthesized. And, of course, this started in pigs,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that the pigs were vaccinated heavily for H1N1. The town La Gloria, Mexico, in the Veracruz province, is surrounded by 72 pig farms.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of pig farms by anybody that counts around a house, you know.
I guess.
So it can't be a coincidence. It can't be, the CIA or the Mossad went down to, Cucamonga, Mexico, and dropped a vial. No, not at all. If you're going to want to get that kind of impact, you'll do it right here in the United States. But instead, it's some kind of, corporate greed. And arrogance.
So the pigs were vaccinated with H1N1?
Definitely.
Oh, okay.
It's a standard procedure.
Oh, it is? Does that happen, say, in this country?
Sure.
With pigs in this country?
Sure, but you have hygiene considerations here.
Okay.
A little bit in the sense that you can be more lax. That's why the corporations go to these countries.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You can let those manure ponds encroach upon cities. That manure did infect the waterways of that town, and you don't have to watch it as much, and you have a hot climate, and you have the opportunity for mutations and for epidemics that would not as easily occur here.
Okay.
So you have a pig virus. You have people dying in that village in February and March. You never heard about it. The villagers protested that pig farm, Peligro, no, danger. They were arrested by corporate policemen, plainclothes police, intimidated, harassed, and it died, but the virus didn't die. It then went to Mexico City. The people from La Gloria worked there, and then it became international. So you always have to look at where these things start from so you can pin down the cause. Now,
mm-hmm.
Smithfield Foods produced that pig farm down there.
Okay.
And that's an American company. So, do you remember that little lady that was pregnant with an 8-month-old, Miss Trunell, that died in Texas?
Oh, the lady, not the lady, but the
principal.
Kid.
Now, note that this virus is killing 30 and 20 and 30 to 40-year-olds, right?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Well, there was a young. The first death was a 6-year-old boy, I think.
The 6-year-old survived, but there were some deaths in under 2-year-olds that were not reported. That were due to swine flu.
Hmm.
But the first reported case was a 6-year-old who survived. But why is this killing? Yes, it kills under 2 years old easily.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it preferentially killing instead of a 60-year-old, 20 to 40-year-olds?
Who supposedly are healthy.
Exactly, relatively, not that severe. Enter the 1918 flu. Remember that one?
Right.
Yes.
What did it kill? 20 to 40-year-olds.
Oh, really? Now, tell me if this is true or not. I read this article probably a month or two ago, okay, when the outbreak came out, that this was what the swine flu was a manufactured cross between swine, avian flu and the 1918 flu, all right? Because about a couple of years ago there was a big ruckus in the news. We read about it.
Yeah.
Was when they exhumed these some of these dead bodies from the who died of the flu in 1918.
Yeah.
And started manipulating, working with the flu virus there for bioweapons.
That's what's going on here.
That's what it is.
Huh? They engineered this using almost assuredly some 1918 corpse material.
Right.
Which preferentially kills 20 to 40-year-olds. They use some Asian pig gene material. How much an Asian pig gene material doing in Mexico City?
I know. Isn't that bizarre?
It's an engineered virus, and not planted on purpose in Mexico, because, no, the statistics purely show that this was a pig farm issue. and you vaccinate the ticks and they get immunosuppressed, they're not going to necessarily show the swine flu symptoms. But the humans who have no, exposure to it,
mm-hmm.
they're going to inhale that. They're going to itch their eye after touching water that's contaminated.
Right.
They're going to get a raging infection. And they, you know why it was more fatal in Mexico? Because of close contact.
Oh.
You know, you had a higher amount of virus per person. You had direct contact with those pig manure lagoons.
Mm-hmm.
You had waterway contamination.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a higher rate of fatality.
Yeah, you got some very, very, very depressed living conditions.
Yeah, depressed living and malnutrition.
Yep.
And if you look at some of the victims, a lot of them, you know, appeared to be somewhat, you know, not too great, a little bit malnourished, even in this country. Now,
well, that guy, I mentioned it too, but the guy who died in New York just last week.
Assistant principal.
Yeah. To me, that guy didn't look healthy to begin with.
Probably wasn't.
Yeah, he looked like he was, like, way overweight.
He probably didn't have enough vitamin A in his body, and he probably didn't know anything about home remedies that he could take to build himself up.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the poor guy was probably vulnerable.
Yeah.
But I tell you this, despite these, 2/3 of the United States say, no, I don't want a swine flu vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
That's an impressive statistic.
Yeah.
So what does Baxter do? They make a deal with England, which is more laid back and probably more willing to take the vaccine.
All right.
Is there anything in medicine for flu? No. Is there anything in medicine for bird flu? No. Is there anything in medicine for swine flu? No. Is there anything in nature for flus of all types, swine, bird, and regular? Yes. Will the government allow anybody to talk about it? No. What does that mean? Are we supposed to just all up and die? In 1918, there was a factory where zero workers, hundreds of workers there, zero, none of them died, and nobody from their families died.
Did any of them get contact with the disease? Or?
Yeah, of course. Come on.
You know what I mean? 90,
it was the cinnamon grinders.
Oh, but did they get sick at all? Or
no, no.
Sick at all? No.
And dust, protected them completely, as antiseptic as it is.
Right.
No, we didn't. The most powerful of all, though, but government doesn't want anybody to talk about it, is oil. Is the wild oregano.
Right.
It is the most powerful.
Well, I tell you something. We still use it, and as far as I'm concerned, it's the best thing going.
And this is something that every American should have known about.
Any kind of
2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, we can't talk about it. So, you know, it's left to me, I suppose, to at my own risk, I guess, to tell people.
Well, now, wait, we can't say this with this on, we can't say how great this is on the air anymore?
Well, you know, I mean, that's the attitude. I mean, it's just, this is a little bit of a skit, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is the attitude.
Because I'll tell you, it's one of the best things
how
I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Cass, the question that I have, and maybe you answered this, but I didn't understand it. Why did this flu attack 30 to 40 year olds and not older people?
Because they used genetic material from those corpses in Alaska when they dug them up,
mm-hmm.
and that particular virus has a predilection for that age group.
Really?
And because it mutated in 20 to 40 year old servicemen. In 1918, and because it is a vaccine that killed those 100 million people. Let me repeat. The greatest catastrophe of human loss, barring the Zionist-inspired Bolshevik Revolution, the greatest, in fact, greater than anything, was the 1918 flu, which was man-made.
Really?
The 1918 flu was not a natural phenomenon. It was strictly due to the aggressive use of blood-contaminated vaccinations in U.S. soldiery.
Mm-hmm.
Those soldiers became mutated. The mutations then got into the hogs throughout the country. They double-mutated it. Between the hogs and the soldiers, you had a pandemic. Shope has proven this. But if
you know, I was wondering, too, I had to ask you this, because tularemia, all right, has been used as a bioweapon now since the early...
Vile.
It's what?
It's vile.
Oh, yeah. But it was used as a bioweapon by the United States in its arsenal since the 60s. However, it was used in the First World War, all right? The First World War,
They were using
it on the...
They were using it, and so they were vaccinating these soldiers. with God knows what.
Right, and but the tularemia virus was sprayed on these guys. It was used. It was sprayed all over Europe.
Let me just say that what kind of a world do we have where imbeciles would go into graves and dig up the very germ that caused 100 million people to drop dead?
I know.
And you know, we have a risk here. This virus could mutate. Not as likely as the 1918, because that was a naturally produced one. But if it did get a natural code, it could mutate. Now, in 1918, you know what it did?
No.
A perfectly healthy people would be standing in a streetcar, get out, step on the curb, and drop dead.
Whoa.
Now, how could that happen?
This is the extreme sophistication of a viral mutation, where it escapes every kind of immune defense because it has so much human tissue in it.
Wow.
See? So much human genetic that the immune system can't recognize it as a pathogen.
Wow.
And it could kill that suddenly.
We might be at risk to some of that. So it would
now,
be...
Could they say, like for instance, wouldn't that go undiagnosed, really, if somebody just walked off a bus and suddenly died and being in perfect...
Yes, that's true. Upon as a, and then it could grow. You know, nobody's watching that particular kind of symptomology.
Right, right.
And so there are certain risks to these things. It has spread all over the world, let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to hype it and keep saying it's looming, it's going to come get us, and 2 billion people will be sick. And we don't know. But, precautions are not a bad idea.
And what would you suggest?
Well, I am not trying to promote a money-making endeavor on a hype basis, but I'll tell you what I do. I take, when I travel, you don't want to get sick right now when you're traveling. Come on, who wants to be quarantined or looked at like a whatever, all right?
Yeah.
And so what I do, I always take a bottle of oil of wild oregano. I take the highest strength one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take a bottle of wild oregano-based spray, a mister. I take a 2-ounce bottle. I put one in one pocket and one in the other. I don't care. I take a Ziploc bag. Do you think we have to be afraid of everybody all the time? Let's be afraid of our shadow.
Yeah, right.
Ziploc bag, and I pour some of these multiple spice capsules that I buy in the health food store. It has cumin, oregano, sage, and cinnamon.
Mm.
I put that in, and I zip it up, and then I just walk through the magnetometer at the airport. Yeah.
And you have everything that you need.
Yeah, I have everything I need to bombard this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before I went there, I was taking vitamin A in a special way, not junk. I'm not taking even cod liver oil. I'm taking crude, steam-extracted salmon oil from wild sockeye salmon, and I'm taking a tablespoon or a couple teaspoons every day so I can build my mucous membrane barrier. You see how powerful?
Vitamin A.
Yeah, because vitamin A is needed for the production of secretory IgA. You're not going to get it out of a multiple vitamin to the degree you need. You need the crude material. Now, this is made by the northern Alaskan fishermen by steaming out the head and the eyes of the salmon.
How about carrot juice?
Oh, no, forget it.
Carrot juice or
forget it. You can't convert the beta carotene readily to the vitamin A. You need preformed vitamin A. Forget it. Carrot juice for cleansing, but not for this.
Years ago, I used to be involved with a lot of health.
I've tried it all. None of it works except what I'm telling you. As far as hammering it.
Yeah, they used to vitamin A poisoning. You used to read about.
Not from crude salmon oil.
Not from crude salmon oil.
From synthetic vitamin A, maybe, in stupid doses.
No, actually, it was in gel tabs.
You could. That's semi-synthetic.
Yeah.
Some of it's synthetic, and some of it's ultra refined. Yeah, gel caps. No, we want the crude oil, or we could have it in the gel cap as long as it's a crude oil.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Well, it's safe. You can't get salmon poisoning by eating 2 pounds of salmon a day, or vitamin A poisoning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so if you get a crude source, you're okay. Now, but you don't want the swine flu poisoning you.
Right? No.
Right.
So now, then I take crude Amazon source vitamin C.
Hmm.
You want to know what I do? I'm telling what I do.
Right.
I eat citrus every day and grapefruit juice, fresh squeezed. I get lemons. That's what I do. I'm a barrier. I have a lot of barriers up. then if I was to get something, I would be pounding the oil of wild oregano under the tongue, rubbing it on the shins and feet, cupping it over the chest bone. I would be...
Rubbing it on your shins?
Oh, yeah, that's where the lymphatic vessels originate.
Oh.
In the shins? Oh, I didn't...
On the shin bone.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Activates the bone marrow. I would be taking these multiple spice capsules, this respiratory type capsule.
Right.
Wonderful stuff I buy from the health food store, open up the capsule if I want, and put in a smoothie, but most of the time I just take three capsules. But if I was sick, I would take it every half hour. If I had a crud.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any stupid crud. Especially a man-made one, let alone from a pig.
Well, we agree with you. You see a lot on the news and things, we saw, and I'm sure you saw too, a lot of people with masks over their face thinking that that was going to help them.
It's a bit of a hocus-pocus, that mask.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to use a mask, there's some protection. But you have to understand, swine flu likes your eyes. If it's airborne, it's going to go right in your eyes.
So we're
it doesn't make a difference if you wear a mask.
No.
Is there anything protecting?
Is going to help somewhat,
mm-hmm.
but it's not enough. You need to...
Really build up your system.
Yeah, you got to build yourself up
big time. System.
Big time. And then if you want to wear a mask, go ahead. I'm not going to much bother with it. Not too much, because what I do is I take the wild oregano-based spray, this oregano spray,
mm-hmm.
and I mist it into my face.
Oh.
Yeah, and I missed the back headrest of the airplane thing. When I get to the hotel, I missed the hotel. I missed the light bulbs in the hotel and let it turn off. That's something else? Wow.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've been feeling fine, I take it.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I've been traveling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pounding myself.
Yeah.
Well, and especially if you're flying, you're sitting in an airplane that has all that recycled air, which isn't particularly...
Yeah, I mean, look, it could happen to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're in that area, somebody's got a fulminant virus, it's genetically engineered. And the other thing is, you could get it, and you might not mount an immune response, and you end up with some chronic stupid fatigue or fibromyalgia or some miserable spinal stiffness and headache. And you've got a low-grade swine flu... Not enough to give a fever, but enough to poison your immune system. That's very realistic. So you got to do something where you could pick it up. Everybody's picking it up virtually in one way or the other. I mean, this thing has spread like crazy, right?
Yeah.
What about the fact that they also seem to say that it'll go underground for a while and then it'll come back with a vengeance as the new flu season?
That's a setup. It could happen, but that's largely a setup because they're not telling you what to do.
No.
That's a setup to give us time to make a vaccine. And therefore, you're prepared mentally and frightened.
But they said that's what happened during the 1918 thing, was that the first wave of the flu wasn't bad. It was the second wave.
Yeah, well, no, that is true, and I've reported on that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, they're using it as a hype to get people prepared for the vaccine, because it might do that, it might not do that. And the reason it did it in the 1918 was because they kept giving vaccines to the soldiers.
Okay.
If they start giving vaccines, then it's going to come back.
Yeah.
Because you'll be injecting swine flu into humans. It's a live virus. It will mutate. And they might not get sickened right away, but then you pick it up. And it could sicken the vaccine recipient, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But you don't want to get you don't want to have somebody shooting you with a pig flu. I mean, you know, how about swabbing a snout of pig, right?
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Eye of newt. So you swab the snout, then you go to a chicken egg, which is filthy in any case, most commercial chicken eggs. You crack him open, shoot some sperm in there, add the porcine pig snout virus. I mean, why would anybody go there?
Oh.
That grow, let it cook in the egg, because the embryo of the egg, is fertilized. Sacrifice the embryos, grind them up, get the feathers and everything else off of them. And filter it, and then inject it in a human. A little formaldehyde in that, eye of newt, little...
That's how they make vaccines. It's amazing.
It's absolutely horrendous. Absolutely vile.
And what's wrong with the medical profession?
Well, a lot's wrong with the medical.
What the hell is wrong with these people, anyway? I mean,
Rosen did that study, you know, 21 studies.
Yeah.
They didn't do the studies on Vioxx and Celebrex.
Right.
He didn't do, I mean, they were all fabricated. This is what I have to say to the modern medicine. I mean, and I have the same thing to say to the federal government. I'm not trying to defy you, and especially I'm speaking to the government now. I'm not defying you. I'm telling you I'm not endorsing any brand name. I'm telling you about our science and our research. And I have every right to do that. But I will say this. At least I didn't fake the studies.
Right.
Whatever studies I haven't told you, I'll tell you the big study that I did. What I tell you is what happened. We did a study, published in Antiviral Research, where we attacked the human coronavirus with oil of wild oregano using a super high strength form and obliterated 99.9% of the virus in 20 minutes. Now, that virus was inside the cells, just like it would be in your body. We then took a multiple spice extract, and obliterated 100% of the viruses. It worked about 20% better.
Wow.
That's not bad.
So what did you use for that?
That's that multiple spice where they desiccate the oil of oregano, cumin, sage, and cinnamon into a dust and then encapsulate it. You have to buy that at the health store.
Right.
Okay.
Now, you're not allowed to promote your product.
I'm not endorsing, or I'm not allowed to endorse a brand name. Even though I'm not directly associated as such.
Right.
And I suppose I could endorse Bragg's apple cider vinegar. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's inane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're told that the only thing that you can talk about is Tamiflu.
Tamiflu.
And you find out that George Schultz and Donald Rumsfeld are beneficiaries of the company.
Right. Right.
You know, you can't talk about anything else. You can only talk about whatever Baxter sells, whatever Eli Lilly sells, whatever Merck sells, whatever George Schultz sells, whatever Donald Rumsfeld sells.
Wow.
You can talk about it. Now, if Dick Cheney would have succeeded in conquering the oregano oil business, just like that arms dealer in Canada tried to do, and I can maybe tell you about that another time.
Okay.
But both of those arms dealers and warmongers had made overtures. The Canadian from Ottawa, you know, the lobbyist told me, we're going to destroy you, and you'll have nothing but a cup to sit on a curb with to collect your change.
Wow.
That's what he said to you?
Said that to my face about oregano.
Really?
And they set about, those of you Canadians that are listening, you should support the original brand of oil of wild oregano, because those other phonies that are out there are based on this kind of corruption where their objective was to destroy me and all the research that I've done.
Well, as far as I'm concerned,
Dick Cheney who made an overture to attempt to buy all the oregano stocks in the world. Yeah. So if they were selling it, then it's okay.
Yeah.
So now I'm not selling oregano oil, but I'm selling you on the research. So we then took the flu virus and obliterated that. That's the human flu virus in 20 minutes, one dose, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was more quick when you used the multiple spice capsule type approach. Mm-hmm. Opening up those capsules and that dust and dumping it into the petri or into the slurry.
Right.
We then, and somebody says, well, that's not H1N1. You're right, it's not. But then we took H8N1. Now, look, I'm not trying to promote a cure for birds who never have, never will. Know that it's so absolutely overplayed. But now there's an issue. There's a bird piece to this puzzle. H8N1, similar viruses are 40% fatal if contracted by humans. That's pretty serious, right?
Yeah.
So they took it in the lab. In the cells, they infected the cells. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
There's billions of viruses growing. They gave the oil of oregano in the same concentration as with the flu. It didn't do much. They called me back and said, you know, Doc, you were wrong about one thing. You said it would work for everything. I said, you know what? What are you doing using the same concentration for that tough of a germ? You need to pump it up. See, this is very important, people. Listen to me.
Right.
I told them, put 25 times more. You see?
Yeah.
And they did, and it obliterated the virus.
Wow.
So this is the moral of the story. If you are stricken with this thing, and the whole world is stricken, and
right.
At least if you knew what I'm telling you tonight, and everything's falling apart, you think the vaccine's going to rescue you?
No.
There's nothing in that medicine, nothing at this time.
Now,
you must at least know about oil of wild oregano and multiple spice and the multiple spice spray. You must.
Now, if I tell people that they can check out P73, all right?
Whatever you want to do is up to you, but I'm not going to endorse it.
Well, you don't have to endorse it, but I mean, what I'm telling you is the stuff that we use, I'll endorse because I use it, and it works wonderful for me.
Well,
right?
You know, I use what you use.
Yeah. And it's P73, is a wild oregano, and it's sold by North American Urban Spice. And you can check that out on the internet. You know, you can buy it there. It's a great stuff. It's just great stuff.
Please tell people, find the original high-quality brand and be willing to spend more for. And you know what? Find a brand that has been scientifically tested on humans, on animals, in petri dishes.
And this,
what are we doing?
And this, now, this one that I use has been, and Lila uses, and and other people that we've told about.
Yeah, other people I know use it, too, and they
swear
by it.
They swear by it, just like we do.
We've been very satisfied with it. And
P73,
we keep it in our medicine cabinet.
That's fantastic.
If you ever feel a little something coming on, you can nip it right in the bud.
That and that Oregamax, too, like we
oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That stuff is terrific.
Yeah,
you have to know about it. The Bible mentions this stuff.
Yeah.
The very thing you're talking about, the whole crude herb in a capsule.
Oh, I'll tell you.
Mentioned in the ancient scripture.
Really?
As a purge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
I tell you, it works. And anybody out there, I'll swear on a stack of Bibles and Korans and anything else you got, all right, that, you know, this stuff works great.
This is a hammer.
Yeah, it's a hammer.
Great.
You two have been staying healthy through that approach, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
So far, we've been very fortunate.
We've got a few allergies here and there or whatever. But we use it, and it's
helped us, and we both...
Remember what I said about this, how they have to take the big doses if a person gets some kind of crazy thing?
Mm-hmm.
Where they take the oil and what you're talking about, those, and this multiple spice, they take that kind of material, like, every half hour.
Wow.
Or they might take that oil, this high-grade material you're talking about, they take it every 5 minutes. How's that?
Wow.
Every 5 minutes under the tongue.
I don't know if my tongue could handle that. It's a little.
Well, you wouldn't be thinking about it.
Yeah, you would because
if you were really sick, you'd be taking that.
We just gave life-saving advice. There are those who don't want these advices out.
5 minutes, wow.
But what we've talked about will save lives, and it's a dire shame that at that level. Unless somebody can make, enrich themselves. See, that's a crime. If the private people want to talk about business, that's acceptable. But when you're in that position and you're hired by the people to serve the people, and you use that position to feather your nest, that's a wicked thing.
It is.
Oh, it is wicked. You're very, very right about that. My fear would be is they'd buy it all up and they wouldn't let anybody have it.
Well, Kenny made that attempt or whatever, something similar. When he said, I want to get a whole tanker car of this. And of course, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Do you think he still has interest?
Well, I suppose he has, but I don't know. I mean, that guy in Canada that threatened me, he's still screwing around and trying to undermine everything that I've done.
Well,
he wasn't totally successful, but he was somewhat successful in diluting the marketplace with the inferior material. So I just say, you had better find originality and the best.
Well,
we're going to say go with North American Urban Spice, and we're going to tell you to check that out on the internet. And
check out my scientific study.
Yeah.
Antiviral research. Check it out on the internet. Antiviral research, / Ingram. That's it. It pops up.
And check out Knowledge House Publishers as well.
Yeah, The Miracle of Wild Oregano, in my other book, specifically talks about swine flu, the respiratory solution. So the respiratory solution, The Miracle of Wild Oregano, you have everything you need to know to combat whatever might ail you in this season to be healthy, not a season to be afraid.
And check out KnowledgeHousePublishers.com. All right.
That's right.
And
so,
we've come right, believe it or not, we've zoomed
right. Right, guys.
We want to thank you so much, Doc, for being on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Good night, Cass. And that was Cass Ingram talking to us about the swine flu and what we can all do to protect ourselves.
Yeah. Wild oregano.
Multiple spice capsules and oregano mist. is also a good thing.
I recommend,
so check that out and take care of yourself.
Yeah, and you know there's a guy right here in Salisbury that sells all that.
Lakeville
nutrition place there. I wish I could remember the name of it.
Right downtown.
Yeah, yep. Right down.
You can get a lot of the, if you check it out, you can get a lot of good stuff at different alternative healing places.
Yeah, but check out the North American Urban Spice and on the internet.
Or just
and check it out.
How about P73?
P73.
Okay.
And guarantee that stuff will give you from the swine flu. But anyway, we want to thank everybody. Please go to lasteelshow.org on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night for our program there at 8 o'clock. And it's also in the archives if you miss it. Again, that's lasteelshow.org. And I wish you a good evening. And we're going to sing you out here.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. And thanks for choosing the LA Steel Show. Choose us again every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 o'clock with interesting and exciting banter and interviews. And John Brennan, who will be talking to us about chemtrails every week. So I hope you have a great and peaceful week. And talk to you next week.
All right. And good night, folks.
Good night, folks.
And that is our that's our interview with Dr. Kassinger, and you can get P73, and I highly suggest that you do. It's at North American Urban Spice. You can also go to p-73.com, I believe, and you go to North American Urban Spice, I believe, .com. Just put that up, and it'll come to you, and in Google or Amazon or Yahoo or whatever search engine you want. Also, I'm going to highly recommend that that product, and highly recommend the works of Dr. Cass Ingram. He's also involved with Knowledge House Publishing or Publishers.com, KnowledgeHousePublishers.com. And you can find many, many books on that, as well as the books on oregano, wild oregano that he talks about, and just so many fascinating things with Dr. Ingram. But definitely check this out if you're worried about the swine flu. I'm certain that it'll work. It's kept us healthy for a number of years, Lila and myself. And we use it all the time. And it's good for topical infections. It's good for any kind of internal. It's excellent for toothaches or any pain, because it has a unique numbing effect that and immediately zaps any infection, which is what causes the pain. So I tell you, it's just a great product. Highly, highly recommend it. And as a user of it. Anyway, I thank you for listening. Join us tomorrow night when we delve into the spiritual areas of our interests, and Friday night, of course, with George Dixon. So good night, and thank you for listening.